Hi there. Welcome to C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about us, check out our website, c3church.hk. Enjoy the message and God bless.
We're looking at, it's all about the habits that create happiness in your life. The habits. And I want to open up with a true story, as opposed to some of those other stories I tell you. And there's a little boy, he jumped onto the lap of his father, and he says, "Oh, Daddy, I'm so happy." And it wasn't Jake, because he's not a little boy anymore. "Oh, Daddy, I'm just so happy." And then almost immediately he jumps off and he goes out to play with Johnny. And then about 30 minutes time, he comes back and he's very sad and very gloomy. And his dad says, "Where's your happy heart gone?" He says, "Johnny made all my happiness leak out." And how true is that story even for adults? Because we can be happy one day. We're all happy and everything is good. And then the next day, all that happiness seems to have leaked out. Where has all that happiness gone? And today, I want to show you in our text how to keep a happy heart, how to maintain a happy heart. And if you've missed some of these messages in this series, go to our website and we have a podcast so you can hear them. If you missed last week's message and you're married, especially if you're a married man, I'm telling you, I'm commanding you, listen to last week's message. Your wife will appreciate it. It will teach you how to become the husband God wants you to be. It'll help you become the husband that your wife wants you to be. Amen? But let's look at this week's. Hey, we're into week 5 and we're still in Philippians chapter 2. Beautiful. There's only 4 chapters in Philippians. But it says this in verse 12, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out," say work out, "your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in," say works in, "you, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me." You know, Paul's writings, so many of Paul's letters, they present solutions to problems that we deal with on a day-by-day basis. And one of those problems is we leak. I'm not talking about tears leaking out of your eyes. It's faith. Faith can leak. One day we can be filled with faith, and the next day we're thinking, we seem to be filled with doubt and fear and anxiety, and where's all my faith gone? But happiness can also leak. One day we're happy, and then the next day there's no happiness to be found in us at all. And peace can leak out of our lives. One day we can feel that sense of peace and tranquility and the harmony God in our lives, and then we're all anxious and worried. We're fearful, and there's no peace on the inside of us. And there are several ways that happiness in particular can leak out of your life, and I'll just let these all come up on the screen in one go. Look at them. One is when you're fearful, and it could be you could be fearful that you're always going to be alone. You're always going to be by yourself. And another one is when we fight over the small stuff. You know the little saying, "Don't sweat the small stuff." We can start to fight and over the silly little things in life. And then there's the feeling of guilt and shame, maybe for things that we've done. And then there's forgetting what God has promised you in your life. And then there's also when we're just focusing on ourselves. We're preoccupied with ourselves, and we're always thinking and focusing on ourselves. And that will cause, these 5 things will cause happiness to leak out of your life. But in the text that we just read, the Apostle Paul, he provides five remedies, five stopgaps, five plugs that will stop happiness from leaking out of your life. And I want to look at those five things that the Apostle Paul encourages you that will help you keep a happy heart. That's today's message, how to keep your heart happy. But before we do, let me just point out the key verse. The key verse is in verse 12. It says, continue to work out your salvation, for it is God who works in. Continue to work out, for it is God who works in. The two key phrases are continue to work out and God who works in. What God works in, we need to work out. That's called putting it into practice. That's the only way Christianity works, by putting it into practice, by working out what God has worked in. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. You know, when you know a jigsaw puzzle and you begin to put a puzzle together, you're working it out. You're putting it back together. You didn't create the puzzle, but you're putting it together. That's a good illustration of your salvation and sanctification and what God does in your life. Working out in the gym. Here's one for the guys. You didn't create your body, but when you go to the gym, you start to work out in the gym. And as you begin to put it into practice, you begin to work out in the gym, strength and growth begins to come. And it's exactly the same when it comes to your Christianity, when you begin to work out, when you begin to put it into practice. So when the Bible says work out your salvation, it's actually talking about, hey, put this into practice. Don't just sit there and hear what the Word of God is speaking to you about. You need to do a lot more than just hearing. You need to, what James says in James 1:22, you need to be a doer of the Word. You need to put it into practice in your life. And what God is doing by His Spirit and His Word inside you, put it into practice. And that's what brings, one of the Bible says this, sanctification or transformation in your life. And that's the purpose of this series, to begin to put these habits into practice. Amen. So let's look at these five remedies for an unhappy heart, for when happiness leaks out, five habits to put into practice to help you keep your heart happy. Number one, remember God is in you, He's with you, and He's for you. This is your remedy against fear. When you remember that God is in you, that He is with you, and that He is for you, it will help you deal with fear, anxiety, and worry in your life. Let me take you on a quick little Bible study over the next few minutes. Philippians 2:13. From the New Living Translation, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. That word working is the Greek word energeo, is where we get our word energy from. But this is the energy of God working in you. And when you begin to prioritize God in your life, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. When you begin to prioritize God, you don't have to start trying to motivate yourself to be able to do this or do that. When you prioritize God, because God is already in you, His desire starts helping you to walk in His purposes. And likewise, when you begin to put your trust in God, and that's talking all about faith, you don't have to rely upon your own ability or your own strength or your own intellect or your own wealth. You can just simply start trusting and putting your hope in God, and then God's power is there to do His purpose within you. So God is at work in you. And then John 14:18-20, it says, I will not leave you, Jesus says, as orphans, I will be with you, and you will realize you're in me and I'm in you. Jesus has made us all an eternal promise that He will be with you. And Jesus fulfilled that promise on the day of Pentecost when He gave the Holy Spirit. That's the promise Jesus was talking about, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, He's the one who bears witness with us, with our spirit that we are children of God. That's in Romans 8, verse 16. Now, when it comes to remembering all this, you don't have to, it's not trying to remember it like you, what do I have to buy from the shops again? And you start, oh, I've got to buy some milk, I've got to buy some bananas, I've got to buy some avocados, I've got to buy some coconut oil, got to whatever. And you make a list so you don't forget it. Hey, that's not how you remember all this. It's not about just trying to remember by writing a list. It's you receive a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit. He reminds you. He is your revelation that God is in you and God is with you. And the greatest thing the Holy Spirit does for you, and there are many gifts and there's many great things, but it's simply to remind you that you are a child of God. So God is in you. God is with you. And then Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can defeat us? If I said to you, the CEO of the company that you work for, he loves you. He's for you. And you don't have to worry about a thing in that company. If I said, the president of the country, he is for you. He's got your back covered. How confident and secure would you feel in your job or anywhere? Because the CEO, the president, they're for me, but God, he is so much stronger, he is so much greater, he is so much more powerful than the CEO or any type of president throughout the world. But God says, I am for you. You don't have to worry about a thing because he is in you, he's with you and for you. And that's why you don't need to be a person, if you're a believer and God is in you, you don't need to struggle with fear. Because the God of the universe, the God who created everything, is within you. You know, if I can just be candid and honest, if you do struggle with fear, it's because you keep forgetting this truth, that God is in you, that God is with you, and that God is for you. And that's what you want to be carrying on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday when you come to church, but daily. And the key to reminding yourself of that truth is your personal quiet time every single day. That's why I want you to pray. That's why I want you to read those daily devotions. That's why I want you to read your Bible, because that's how the Holy Spirit begins to remind you every day. Not just once a week. What happens if you miss church? Then 2 or 3 weeks has gone by. You need to be doing this every day. And I can tell you, if you do that, you will not be struggling with fear. Amen? So, number one, remember that God is in you. He's with you and he's for you. That's your remedy against fear. Number two, be grateful and never grumble. Be grateful and never grumble. This is your remedy against fighting over all those little things. This is a good one for husbands and wives. You know, all the little things, and they're irrelevant things. The things that in 100 years' time, who cares? Next year, who cares? Next week, who cares? In 24 hours, who cares? Be grateful and never grumble. Philippians 2:14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Who agrees with me? That's got to be the hardest scripture in the Bible. Do everything without grumbling and complaining, Mary? Oh, I've got to look at myself in the mirror. Do everything without grumbling or complaining, Wayne. You know, if the chairs aren't straight, I start to grumble. If one chair is out of line, but it says do everything, that's got to be the hardest scripture in the Bible. But you know what the key to trying and working and living out that scripture? It comes back to your thinking and your thinking habits. Remember I said 2 or 3 weeks ago, when and then thinking? When something happens, then I'll be happy. When I get that new job, then I'll be happy. When I finally get a promotion, then I'll be happy. When this happens, that's when I'll be happy. But if that's how you do live your life, when something happens, hey, you'll never, it'll be impossible for you to fulfill this scripture. Because happiness is always a choice. You choose on the inside, I'm going to happiness regardless of what has happened. Regardless of what doesn't happen, I'm going to this place of joy. And when you live that way, it becomes possible. You know, this word, complaining. Complaining is what leads to arguing. It's got to be one of the most unhappy conditions, one of the most unhappy places to be when you're always complaining. Do you know there are four types of complainers? Four of them, Shane. four types of complainers. You've got the whiners. You know the saying, rise and shine? Well, this is rise and wine. I don't say well, as soon as you wake up, you start having a glass of wine or something. That's another type of problem, that is. But rise and wine, these are people, they wake up grumpy. If you've got teenagers, you know what I'm referring to here. But they wake up grumpy for whatever reason. My goodness. Then you've got the martyrs. Martyrs, they're the always having a pity party. But they're always singling out why they're never going to make it or things aren't going to work or why they're no good or why this is they're kind of always focusing on their own weaknesses and everything. Then you've got the opposite of them, the cynics. Cynics are another form of complainers, and they're the nitpickers. They're always looking for what is wrong with something. Oh, I don't like that song because it's blah, blah, this, and oh, I don't like that particular whatever. Oh, they'll find something that they don't like about something. The internet is filled with these types of people, always complaining. And then you've got perfectionists, and these are cynics. I think a lot of cynics are perfectionists, in fact, where nothing is ever good enough. People are doing the very best they can, but still it's not good enough. You got 95% for the math test, but it's still not good enough. Should have got 100. Should have studied for another week and got 100. My goodness, I was happy when I got over 60. Anyway, so Philippians 2:14, it says, do everything without complaining. But look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. So do everything without complaining. In everything, give thanks. You thought Philippians 2:14 was hard? My goodness. Look at this scripture here. In everything, give thanks. But it says in everything. It doesn't say for everything. You see, I'm not thankful for terrorists. I'm not thankful for sicknesses. I'm not thankful for injustices. I'm not thankful for poverty. But when I begin to turn my heart from a complaining attitude to a thankful attitude, I then position myself to respond in a godly way. And that's when God can go to work in my situation. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. It says, in all things. God can work in all things. God can work in whatever bad situation that you think is just too big and too bad. Hey, nothing is too big or too bad for God. God can turn crucifixions into resurrections. If God can do that, he can deal with your situation. Now, let me ask you a question. If you did Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining. If you did 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Do you think you'd be a lot happier? Absolutely. And you can. Do you know why? Because of point one. Because God is in you. Because God is with you. And because God is for you. So if God is in you and he's with you and he's for you, you can do this. Because the God who created everything and the God who can work in every situation, he's in you. And that's why you need to be carrying that knowledge and thinking about it every single day, because it'll give you the right perspective to carry in every single situation. God is in you, he's with you, and he's for you. So therefore, you can always be grateful and you can never grumble. Amen? Are you getting something out of this? Do you like this? Or shall I stop and go home? Keep going. Do you want point three? Because this only gets better. It only gets better, point three. Point three is, I keep my conscience clear. And this is your remedy against feeling guilty and ashamed. Philippians 2:15 says, and you are to live clean and pure lives, children of God, without fault. Let me give you a little happiness hint here. You cannot be guilty and happy at the same time. You can't. It's always one or the other. Always. And Christians who, you know, they just continue to live a certain type of lifestyle where they're not clean and pure, all they're doing is they just keep filling their life with guilt and shame. And I know this because I spent a time, you know, Mary and I, we've been pastors for, I don't know, 20, 25 years, a long time. maybe longer now. And over that period of time, we've dealt with a lot of people. We've helped a lot of people. And some of those people were addicts. They're addicted to, some of them were addicted to chocolate and still might be. I still might be. and I can get through, you know, the morning without chocolate. But some people, they're addicted to substances, drugs, alcohol. Some people are addicted to sex, porn, those types of things. And what they will all tell you is guilt and shame becomes your prison on the inside. And they just cannot escape. That thing is like this monster that has gripped hold of them, and they've lost complete control of their lives. But you know, the truth is there is help, because addiction is a disease and it can be treated. And let me show you just a couple of ways that God's word actually works when it comes to dealing with stuff and how to keep your heart and your mind clean, how to keep your conscience clean. The Bible is, first of all, preventative. It's a fence at the top of the hill to prevent you from falling down. You know, Jack and Jill, who went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, and Jack fell down and broke his crown. That's because Jack stepped outside of the fence. And if you take that illustration when it comes to God's word, if you stay within the confines of the fence, you won't fall down and hurt your crown. You stay within the confines of God's word, you'll everything will be good. Everything will be fine. And there's an illustration of this in Psalm 119, verse 16, and it's providing you with the wisdom to walk along the pathway towards that good life. It says in Psalm 119, "Happy are those who live pure lives, who follow the Lord's teaching, keep his rules, and who try to obey him with their whole heart." This scripture is an illustration of the preventative word of God, where you're just doing the word of God and it's going to prevent stuff from happening in your life. So God's word, it's preventative. It will protect you and prevent certain things in your life. But what happens when you do step outside of that fence at the top of the hill and you do roll down and break your crown? You see, the word of God is also procedural. It can also treat things. It's also an ambulance at the bottom of the hill that will treat you when you do have that fall. Amen? And let me illustrate this. That's in Psalm 32, and I'll get to that in a minute. We'll pull it back. Good. We got the old scripture still. You know, just an illustration of this is, let's go back to our addicts. Say someone, they rise and whine. You know, they do like that wine first thing in the morning. Say they are an alcoholic. You know, AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, They actually have these 12 steps. These 12 steps that help someone who is in that place way down there to get to this place where they can begin to help other people. And that's an example of the procedural, where it's beginning to treat something. And the word of God is like that in your life. Look at this. I'll show you in Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. It says, "What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record." You know, there's a pattern of happiness right there in that verse. Look at this. First of all, relief comes when I confess my sins. Joy comes when my sins are washed away. And happiness comes when my guilt is forgiven. Do you know, that is step 5, 6, 7, and 8 in AA's 12 steps. And the reason why it works is because it's carved directly out of Scripture. And when you begin to confess your sins and you start to receive that forgiveness of God, it'll wash those sins away. And happiness and joy will come into your life when you know that all your sin and all your guilt has been forgiven. Amen? This is not just for addicts. This is for everyone. And it shows you the power of God's work to actually keep your conscience clean. Now, the next habit shows you how to do it. This is habit 4. Have a look at this one. It's memorize and meditate God's word. Now, this is your remedy against forgetting. Remember in point one? And I talked about God is in you, God is with you, God is for you. But the reason why fear rises up is you keep forgetting that. Point four is your remedy for never forgetting it. It's memorizing and meditating upon God's word. The number one reason why Christians actually do not walk in God's promises is because they forget those promises. They just keep forgetting those promises. They remember when they're here in church, but once they walk out and they wake up on Monday morning and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, it seems to have eluded them. Now, if God's promises are not on your mind, something else will. And for the believer, usually it can be worry and it can be fear. And if it's not the word, it's worry. And worry, it's a form of fear. And guess what? The more you worry about something, the bigger and bigger it becomes. You can start off worrying about a little thing. It could be something very small. But if you just continue to worry about that thing throughout the morning, it will begin to grow. And by the time you get to the end of the day, it is a big mountain of a worry, simply because you've just worried about it throughout the day. Now, here's the thing. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, because they're one and the same thing. The process is exactly the same. Meditating is when you just keep thinking over and over God's word. It's when you're beginning to speak over and over God's word. And this is how God becomes bigger and bigger in your life. If you just start meditating upon a scripture first thing in the morning and you keep thinking about it throughout the day, guess what? It becomes bigger and bigger in your life. And meditating is how you make God big. God is already big, but it's how big he is to you. And when he becomes big to you, and you know he is bigger, he is stronger, and he is greater, that's when you can start to deal with anything that begins to come against you on the outside. So the only difference between worry and meditating is where you're focusing your mind. Are you focusing on the fear, or are you focusing on God's promises? Meditating God's word. Let me show you how to do this. Philippians 2:16. Get the scripture, there it is. It says, hold tightly to the word of God. Hold tightly to the word of God. And when you begin to hold tightly to something, you're never going to let go of it, are you? Lift up your hand, go like that, as though you're going to give someone a high five. Do that. Now, everyone, come on, you can do it. A bit of responsiveness in church. Now, turn around and look at yourself. So, okay, now look at that hand. Look at that hand. Look at your own hand. Now, I'm giving you an illustration that will help you not forget to hold on to the word of God. So every time when you go home, just look at your hand. Your hand is a reminder of how to hold on to God's word. You can put your hands down now. Now, look at the screen. Look at that hand up there on the screen. You see, these are six ways to take hold of the word of God. You begin to hear it. You read it. You memorize it, meditate it, study it, and guess what? You begin to do it. Now, I want to show you something here. Let me show you with a book. And now, if I'm just hearing the word of God, that's all I do. All I do is just hear it. And it's hard for me to hold on to God's word. And all I do is just hear it. But then if I hear it and I begin to read it, I've at least got a little bit, I can at least start to hold on to it a bit, but someone can easily take it from me. But then if I begin to hear it, I begin to memorize it, and I start to meditate upon it, I've got a stronger grip, and it's harder. It's getting harder for him to pull it away from me. But then I begin to study it also. I study, I get an understanding of how this Bible works. I understand what the Old Testament was all about and how the Old Testament points into the New. And I understand how both of them begin to relate to one another. I'm getting a whole, I can hold on to it even more. Try pull, look, he can't. But when I begin to put this into practice, when I become a doer of God's word, you can't pull that out of me at all. Come on, Mary. Look. Nah, she can't do it. Because I've got a grip. I'm holding tightly to the Word of God. And that's what we've got to do with Scripture. We've got to do all of them. Do you see how important it is to do all of those things? When you take hold of God's Word, it begins to take hold of you. And that's when transformation begins to take place. Look at these scriptures in Psalm 119, verse 16. Your principles make me happy, so I never forget your word. Psalm 119, verse 35. Lead me in the path of your commands, because that is where my happiness is found. We're talking about ways to keep a happy heart. Number one, remember, God is with you. He's in you. He's for you. Be grateful and never grumble. Don't be a grumble bumble. Three, keep my conscience clear. Number four, memorize and meditate God's word. And number five, the fifth way, the fifth habit to keep my heart happy, use my life to serve God by serving others. And this is your remedy against always just focusing about yourself. If you're always focused on yourself, you're always thinking about yourself, and very rarely do you ever think about other people. Very rarely are you ever thinking about the church that you come to. You know, you're never thinking about how do they pay all their bills and how do they do anything? If you're never thinking about those things, you're only ever thinking about yourself. Hey, number five, use my life to serve God by serving others. Do you know the only way you can serve God is by serving others? Try it. Try serve God by not serving any other person. You cannot do it. It's the only way you can serve God. Jesus said, what you do unto others, you do also for me. That's in Matthew 25, verse 40. But you know, you are the happiest. You're most happy when you are giving your life away, because happiness, it doesn't come through your salary. Happiness doesn't even come through your status and what you've achieved in life. It doesn't come through sex. It doesn't come through success. Happiness comes through service. And Jesus said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We need to practice serving and giving. Serving and giving. Serving and giving define what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because he came to do those two things, to serve and to give of his life. And Paul says exactly the same thing in our text in Philippians 2, 17, 18. I'm reading this one from the NCV translation. It says, your faith makes you offer your lives as a sacrifice in serving God. If I have to offer my own blood as a sacrifice, I will be happy and full of joy. And you should be happy and full of joy with me too. You know, what the Apostle Paul is saying is the more that you give your life away, the happier and the more alive you're going to become. Sacrifice and serving, they are two keys to lifelong happiness. Studies prove. When you begin to help other people, when you begin to give your life away by serving other people and by helping other people, that's the best way to pull yourself out of depression. If you're starting to feel down, if you're starting to feel depressed, just start serving and helping other people and you'll pull yourself out of that hole of depression. That's actually step 12 in the Alcoholics Anonymous, 12 steps. You've gone through all these steps to get yourself out of that place. Step 12 is you now start serving and helping someone else. You go through the same process, and guess what? That's the thing that keeps an addict clean in their life. You know, let's put this into practice. I want to ask you a couple of questions. How do you sacrifice and serve others? That's a personal question. So you've got to apply that to yourself. Don't apply it to the person sitting next to you. How do you sacrifice and serve other people? You see, one of the reasons why church exists is so that you can begin to sacrifice and serve other people. And this is where it starts. Because for believers to go and fulfill the purposes of God, you've got to first of all start doing it here in the house of God. You start sacrificing and serving in God's house, and then it will begin to grow and flow out into the real ultimate goal, which is to reach out to lost people. That's what it's all about. But if you can't serve and sacrifice here, it's highly unlikely that you will ever reach out to the lost out there. Let me ask you another question. Is your heart growing more generous every year? Compare yourself to last year. Are you more generous than what you were in the past? You see, the more generous your spirit, the more you will sacrifice and serve others, just like Christ. And that's because generosity, it is a spirit. It's a spirit. And some people, they've been Christians for a long time, and what happens is they get stuck. They get stuck on this level of generosity, and they've never grown beyond that. And they've been there for 10 years, 15 years. They've been coming to church, and they're the most miserable, unhappy people because they're stuck on a level of generosity. But generosity, it's a spirit. It's not something you do. It's something you are. The Holy Spirit, He is generous. And when you keep fighting against generosity, you will quench the Holy Spirit in your life. That's what you'll do. And giving and sacrifice and serving, it not only reveals happiness, but it causes happiness to increase in your life. There's no coincidence. Do you know the word miserable? It comes from the word miser. And the more miserly you are, the more miserable you will become. Five habits of happiness. Remember, God is in you. He's with you. He's for you. And that's your remedy to deal with fear in your life. Never grumble and never complain. Always be grateful and never grumble. That's your remedy against fighting and arguing, especially over those silly little things. Keep my conscience clear through the word of God. And that's your remedy against guilt and against shame and stuff. Memorize and meditate God's word. That's how you hold tightly onto God's word. Use my life to serve God by serving other people. Do you know, whenever you want to start working out in the gym, you go for the very first time, often the people who are running that gym, they'll want to just do a few little checkups on your heart just to make sure you're not going to do a little bit of damage to yourself. And they're checking for heart problems before someone goes and does something, you know, a little bit too difficult for themselves in that gym. But as your pastor, let me tell you this. Every single person has a heart problem. Every single one of us. And the solution for that heart problem, it is Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the solution. He's the starting place. The Bible says He is the author and He is the finisher of your faith. Acts 4:12, it says this, salvation can only be found in Jesus alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us. Let me pray for you.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message and look forward to having you enjoy us next time. God bless.